This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
March 12th at the Rice Media Center on the Rice University campus, located at the corner of Stockton and University Boulevard. Oil on Ice, narrated by Peter Coit, is an award-winning documentary that connects the fate Arctic National Wildlife Refuge in Alaska and the conflict over drilling for oil. The film examines the battle over one of America's last great wild places, which is currently at the center of a national energy debate. Through stunning footage and in-depth interviews, this entertaining film links seemingly unrelated matters such as energy independence, global warming, Native American rights, wildlife, and wildlands protection. The event is free and open to the public. For more information, visit Clean at www.cleanhouston.com. This is KPFT Houston. Skills for Living is a nonprofit organization dedicated to breaking the cycle of poverty. We are looking for families, volunteers, and collaborators to participate in the free 2020 Power Workshops. Participants will learn financial, career, and life skills to help increase your income and net worth by 20% in 1 year. Call Skills for Living at 713-782-9974 or visit their website at skills4living.org. Again, call Skills for Living at 713-782-9974 or visit their website at skills4living.org. This is KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM.
The following program may contain language or imagery that may be offensive to some listeners. Discretion is advised. The Federal Communications Commission permits the broadcast of some profanity during hours deemed to be safe harbor when children are less likely to be listening. KPFT upholds a stricter policy permitting the broadcast of sensitive material only between the hours of midnight and 5 a.m. The FCC forbids the broadcast of some sexual discussions or other suggestive matters regardless of the hour. If you have questions or concerns, please call the program director during business hours at 713-526-4000. This is KPFT Houston.
I grew up out in the country, spreading my wings wild and free, learning about life from Mother Nature, doing what comes naturally. Boys 8 years old, cousins on my daddy's side. Me and Bobby Wayne's friends from birth, playing out in the woods. Bobby Wayne looks at me right in the eyes, smiles a crooked smile and says, wanna do what our mamas and daddies do. Somehow I knew just what he meant, cause we were out in the country, spreading our wings wild and free. Learning about nature, doing what comes naturally.
This is Queer Voices on KPFT, and this segment is called Queer Music Heritage. I'm J.D. Doyle, and tonight I'm bringing you part one of a special three-part series on gay country music. This month and next, I'll explore the history of gay and lesbian artists performing openly gay country songs, and also the early country songs by straight artists that have made references to homosexuality. And on a special bonus show, I'll cover country comedy or novelty songs that have gay subject matter. Those have been done almost always by straight artists, and many were borderline homophobic. I open the show with what I consider to be the first openly gay country song to achieve any kind of national attention. And it almost has an anthem feel to it. That was Doug Stevens in the Outband doing the title track from his debut album, Out in the Country. That was from 1993, and ever since, Doug has been one of the leading forces in that genre. We'll hear more from him later in the show, including some interview comments. But he didn't have the first openly gay country album. I'll tell you who did in a few minutes. But first, I want to give you some examples of some very early gay references in country music. And some of them, I'm sure, seem much more gay then than they do now. In 1939, Vernon Dowhart recorded on the Bluebird label the song Lavender Cowboy. Now, while he wasn't the first to record it, his version was one of the earliest. It had got a lot of attention because it was decided that the song appeared to refer to homosexuality. So radio considered it a blues song and banned it from the air. Even by today's crazed FCC standards, I think you'll agree the song now appears fairly innocent.
He was only a lavender cowboy. The hairs on his chest were few. But he wished to follow the heroes and fight like the he-men do. But he was inwardly troubled by a dream that gave him no rest. That he'd go with heroes in action with only two hairs on his chest. Side and many hair tonics were rubbed in on him each night. But still, when he looked in the mirror, no new hairs were ever in sight. Undaunted, he wandered out to fight, just like an old-time knight errant, to in combat for the right. Battled for Red Nellie's honor and cleaned out a hold-up nest. He died with his six guns a-smoking with only two hairs on his chest.
Again, that was Lavender Cowboy by Vernon Dowhart from 1939, and his was just one of the many recordings of that song. Burl Ives had perhaps the best-known version, but in 1959, the song turned decidedly homophobic in the hands of English singer Patti Roberts.
Yippee-yi, yippee-yo, yippee-yi, yippee-yo, yippee-yay. Which sounds rather silly, but every hillbilly spends half his life singing that way. He was just a lavender cowboy with only three hairs on his chest, and he rode on a filly called Daffy-Down-Dilly, the prettiest horse in the West. Every morning they went out together while the others looked on in dismay, 'cause he'd round up the cattle a-ridin' side saddle because he preferred it that way. He was just a lavender cowboy who committed a terrible sin. He went out on a bender and slugged a bartender and stole all the strawberry gin. So the posse was sent out to find him and bring him back dead or alive. And they knew as they went they were hot on the scent by the smell of Chanel No. 5. And they found him a-lying unconscious with blood running all down his chin, till they looked a bit closer, and what do you know, sir, they found it was strawberry gin. So they shot the lavender cowboy and said as they laid him to rest, "You'll be happier now, boy, you can't be a cowboy with only three hairs on your chest."
Well, this time, because the cowboy wasn't masculine enough, they shot him. Also from the 50s was another condemnation in the form of Billy Briggs' The Sissy Song.
When I get sissy enough to wear a mustache and a bow tie, wear those pretty suede shoes that a lot of those sissies buy, smoke cigarettes and drink iced tea and hold my little finger up high, I'll go out behind the old red barn and let a gray mule kick my brains out. When I get sissy enough to wear that dumb old wristwatch and sleep in pajamas and drink sweet milk, you'll know I'm on my last notch. When I get sissy enough to go with my shirt tail hanging out, I'll go out behind the old red barn and let a gray mule kick my brains out. When I get sissy enough to say...
Billy Briggs from 1951. And obviously that was just a little bit of that song. To cover as much ground as possible, I am only going to be able to play clips of many of the songs. Now I want to quickly cover a couple of what I term accidentally gay songs, as they were sung by males, but I believe intended to be sung by women. And in those days, society didn't seem to dwell on that. From 1926, Kelly Harrell and Beneath the Weeping Willow Tree, followed by bluegrass greats, the Monroe Brothers.
My heart is sad and I am lonely, for the one I love is gone. He's gone, he's gone to see another. He no longer cares for me. Then he told me that he loves me dearly, but those words have proved untrue. He's gone to see another. Oh, my Lord, what will I do?
Oh, where is my sailor boy? Oh, where is my sailor boy? He sleeps in the bottom of the deep blue sea and can't come back to me. I stand on the beach alone and gaze at the misty blue. Deep sea, as you hold him to your breast, does he mention my name to you? Oh, what does the deep sea say? Oh, what does the deep sea say? It moans, it groans, though it splashes and foams and rolls on its weary way.
The Monroe Brothers followed Kelly Harrell with Where Is My Sailor Boy from 1936. And before I leave the straight artists, I've got one more that I think is kind of interesting because it's from quite a bit later, from 1948, and I wouldn't expect a man singing a woman's song then. But here's Cowboy Jack Derrick with a bit of his Truck Driving Man.
When my truck driving man comes back to town, there'll be no blues hanging around. We'll drink beer from a can while I'm with that man. When my truck driving man comes back to town, Chevrolet, Chevrolet, pull that hill. Here and your motor is a thrill. Till the day that you get back, I'll stay on the right track. Till my truck drives man comes back.
Again, that was Cowboy Jack Derrick. Oh, and in your travels, you might see mention of the songs A Gay Ranchero or The Gay Caballero by folks like Gene Autry or the Sons of the Pioneers. Sorry, not gay songs. Okay, as I promised earlier, I'm going to tell you about the first openly gay country album. It was called Lavender Country and was released in 1973. The album was made possible by the efforts of Gay Community Social Services of Seattle, and only 1,000 copies were pressed. Founder of the band Lavender Country was Patrick Haggerty. Before we talk to him, I want to share a little of the first track from that album, called Come Out Singing.
Waking up to say, hip hip hooray, I'm glad I'm gay. Can't repress my happiness. with you. Sun is up, I'm singing out the night of doubt, I'm bringing out the light to come out singing do-do-do.
How did the band Lavender Country get started?
I formed Lavender Country. I was pretty rabid gay liberationist in the early 70s when Stonewall hit. And I was quite involved in the Seattle movement at the time. And I was singing a little bit then at coffee houses and writing some songs. And I located the musicians for Lavender Country, and we rehearsed, made the album, and kept an independent community project, and we managed to sell 1,000 copies of the original, 33 and a third vinyl record.
Who else was in the band?
A man named Michael Carr, who's still a prominently active Jewish homosexual activist, and he lives in Philadelphia now with his longtime partner. A woman named Eve Morris, who was an out lesbian at the time. Eve was from Milwaukee, and I believe she's in Florida these days, but she spent many years in Seattle, and she is the female vocalist and the fiddle player. And there was a guy named Bob Hammerstrom, who was not gay, but a lovely, lovely human being, and a very good guitarist, and I ran into him, and he was our lead guitar player. So that's how it all came together. Three of us were gay, and Bob Hammerstrom was not gay.
And how did the album actually get produced?
We produced it ourselves here in Seattle. We raised the money through community efforts to produce it. An organization called Gay Community Social Services, which is a private 501c3 nonprofit organization, grew up at about that same time that Lavender Country was being produced.
From the back of the album, it sounds like it was one of that organization's projects, but really, it's from what you're saying, it was closer knit than that.
At the time, it was, yes. There was a closer hookup than it just being one of the projects. I believe Lavender Country may have been the first, if not one of the first, gay community social service projects, but there have been many over the years.
And how many copies of the album were there?
1,000.
And how long did the band, as it was, last?
More than two, but probably not 3 years, something like that.
Uh-huh.
We ran up and down the coast doing gay prides here and there, and Washington and Oregon and California, and there were some gay symposiums were a big deal at the time, you know, educational symposiums.
Mm-hmm.
We played a lot at those, and at various gay community events. But of course, gay country music was an absurd proposition.
Right.
At the time, for particularly if you thought you were going to make a living at it.
So, were you aware of any other openly gay acts performing at that time?
I was, but not in Seattle. Lavender Jane Loves Women, Alex Dobkin.
Mm-hmm.
Lavender Jane Loves Women came out just months after Lavender Country. Lavender Country was produced first, but Lavender Jane Loves Women was probably even not a year behind.
You're right, that's what I was figuring. I've interviewed Alex.
Uh-huh. Along about the same time, Meg Christian was around about then, and some other feminist-oriented women were producing music then. There was a man whose name escapes me right now, but I would sure recognize it if I heard it, who produced some gay music just a year or two after Lavender Country. It wasn't country music.
Steven Grossman?
Yes, that's exactly who I mean.
Mm-hmm. His album came out in 74.
Yeah, uh-huh. I never met him. I would have liked to have met him. But I appreciated his album very much. It was a good album. So there was me and Steven Grossman and Meg Christian and Alex Dobkin were really pioneers of the same era.
The sort of cartoonish drawing on the back, is that supposed to be you?
No, it's not supposed to be me. It's not supposed to be me. Michael Carr did the drawing. Michael Carr, the piano player.
Oh, for those on the radio, it's just a weather restaurant-looking man in front of a door that looks like it's hammered shut.
Uh-huh. He's coming out of the closet, is the idea on that. And it, well, he's got those Farmer Brown bib overalls, doesn't he?
Right.
Yeah.
Looks like he has a purse.
Yeah, he does have a purse and a carbine rifle trimmed with lace.
Right, yes.
Which is from one of my songs, Back in the Closet Again. Every purse was filled with mace, carbine rifles trimmed with lace.
Okay, I wanted to get to some of the songs while we're at it. Tell me about the song Back in the Closet Again.
Not only was I doing the gay movement at the time, but I was doing the left-oriented movement in general. And I was working in a coffee house that was a war resisters coffee house for Vietnam vets and Vietnam soldiers and that kind of thing. And I was hooked up with other radical organizations that weren't gay. And in those early days, a lot of them had a lot of trouble embracing the gay movement. And many of them were opposed to the gay movement. And there was a big to-do about whether homosexuals could be revolutionary. And the struggles around that got pretty intense, frankly.
So this was really the other revolutionary folks wanting the gays back in the closet.
Right. That's what it was about.
I'm back in the closet.
One song that I have to be careful when I play or introduce is Crying These Cocksucking Tears.
Oh, yeah, that's the one. again, Crying These Cocksucking Tears is not even a song that's about sex. The song title is, of course, very controversial. That's what Crying These Cocksucking Tears is about. It's about the rigid sex role that men were educated and trained to assume, and how that role was oppressive to women and to us, and how it needed to go. It's a pretty overtly political song.
Well, I can air this portion of the interview on my internet only part of the show.
Okay. Yeah. It's the song that everybody notices first because of the title, but again, it's not an explicitly sexual song at all.
I'm fighting for when there won't be no straight men, 'cause you all have a common disease. Can't hear very much for loving and such, but you take it wherever you please. Lies can't deceive me, you know that you
sir. Crying these cocksucking
tears. Back the original group when they all performed live, what song got the best reaction from the crowd?
Well, the unmentionable song.
Okay, we know which one that is.
was very popular. And it wasn't popular because of the title, although people did enjoy the title. It was popular because of what it was saying. Come Out Singing and Lavender Country were also favorites. Back in the Closet Again was usually requested. You know, it's hard to pick. They were all loved.
How about the song Lavender Country?
Lavender Country was the last song that I wrote and turned out to be the title song of the album. And I particularly like Lavender Country because it's about being liberated from sex roles. It's sort of the opposite of the Crying These Cocksucking and Tears song. And it's written in a positive, upbeat, light, lyrical style as opposed to sardonic, sarcastic, biting, acrid style of the other song. And it's an expose about sex roles. Interestingly, in the original Lavender Country, there's not a verse about lesbians. And in later editions of Lavender Country material, and whenever I sing the song now, there is a verse about lesbians. That was an interesting part of the early struggle, too. That was about whether men, gay men in particular, or men in general, had the right to write anything or say anything at all about lesbians, whether it was presumptuous to presume that you could speak about the issue if you weren't a lesbian, particularly if you were a man. And I was intimidated out of, not overtly, but just by smelling the political content of the day, I was intimidated out of writing a verse about lesbians in the original Lavender Country. But I subsequently got beat up by a lot of lesbians for a lot of reasons over the years, and I came to feel not intimidated, and also the sharpness of the issue was blunted a lot over time, and it didn't matter so much what gender you were or what sexual orientation you were when you spoke or wrote about lesbianism. It mattered a whole lot more what you said.
There's nothing left but hope in your weary sexist roles. Kind of trade them old PJs for a goodwill negligee. Y'all come out, my dears, to Lavender Country. Y'all come out and make yourselves to home. It don't matter here who you love or what you wear, 'cause we don't.
So you kind of disappeared musically for a number of years.
I did, and the reason for that was, as I said, I wasn't a trained musician. Country was my genre. It was the genre that I loved. It was the only genre that I knew. And getting anywhere at the time in gay country was pretty much an absurd proposition. And I wasn't willing to... I was a gay activist. I wasn't willing to go back in the closet to do country, straight country. It was just a compromise I wasn't willing to make. And so there was nowhere for me to go. And so I went on into the rest of my life
Well, it turns out that Patrick Haggerty didn't disappear musically after all, and we'll pick up his story a little later. This is a good time to invite you to check out my website at www.queermusicheritage.com. If you visit it while you're listening, you can see the playlist and follow along while looking at photos of the artists and recordings. I've always considered our music history as a visual as well as an audio experience. Also, for more very queer programming, please listen to After Hours with Jimmy Carper every Saturday night from midnight to 4 a.m. on KPFT. It's queer radio with attitude. On tonight's show, I'm trying to be fairly liberal and inclusive as to what qualifies as country music. But then that genre has always covered a lot of territory. A year after Patrick Haggerty's Lavender Country album came out, a rather odd underground album was released. Most people were not, and probably still aren't, sure what to make of Peter Grudzian's album called The Unicorn. It's been called psychedelic folk country, and was definitely a do-it-yourself project. Imagine music coming out of Greenwich Village and influenced by Johnny Cash and early Bob Dylan. Here's a bit of Peter Grudzian and his song, White Trash Hillbilly Trick.
White Trash Hillbilly Trick. Living its youth in years, baby years. Love those patches on your britches. Love your long hair parted in the middle. And I love the way you dance. If you're looking for a love of me, I'll love you in the beaded blue jeans.
Some may notice that most of the artists featured on this first show are male. Well, that's what my research indicated. I found no openly lesbian country artists in the early years, and the earliest female group I can mention definitely was not out. In 1975, a trio of seasoned musicians, Helen Hook, Pamela Brandt, and Ann Bowen, formed the group Deadly Nightshade. I've read that their live act demonstrated more of a country feel, but their two albums, Deadly Nightshade and FNW, standing for Funky and Rustrin, were to my ears all over the map musically. But here's one of their more country-flavored songs, Someone Down in Nashville.
On the road and far from those you love, when the loneliness can fit just like a glove. Driving alone out there, sometimes you need to share all those thoughts you got so.
That was the group Deadly Nightshade. In 1979, Robin Flower released her debut album, but her lesbian music credentials go back 10 years sooner, as she sang backup on the very first openly lesbian 45 RPM record, Maxine Feldman's Angry Athos. As a musician, Robin is very well respected and is a master of just about any stringed instrument you can name. In recent years, she's been half of a duo, on and off stage, with Libby McLaren. But here's the title track from Robin's first album, More Than Friends.
Hey, hey, hey.
When When I featured Blackberry on one of my early Queer Music Heritage shows, I was almost surprised to find a very country song on his album, because he's generally thought of as a folk artist. In this song, he asked Tony to help him to forget.
Tony, I'm glad you're with me. We will have a pleasant time, and as I hold you in my arms, his face goes through my mind. Your skin so brown, so beautiful. Your eyes are smiling brightly. I can feel your spirit being free. I remember his eyes once smiled for me. So now I try to fantasize that he and I never met. Oh, I'm trying hard, so awfully hard. Please help me to forget.
The next two artists will only be heard on the internet version of this show, and you'll soon see why. Primarily a folk artist, Harry Wingfield released a 45 RPM record in 1981, with one side of it being a song about restroom entrapment called The Men's Room.
I was shopping to buy a new suit of clothes in a large Topanga department store when I unmistakably felt Mother Nature's call. I was told to look behind the women's hose. That is where I found the door, a door that led me straight to my downfall. In the men's room. In the men's room. Why them guys all staring at me in the men's room? Why them guys all staring at me? All I wanted to do was pee in the men's room. In a men's room. One of them smiled and said, "Hi, guy." Another one just said, "My, oh, my." A third one asked if I came in here often. When I got my zipper in my fingertips, they all started to lick their lips. And that is when my knees began to soften. In the men's room. In the men's room. Why them guys all smiling at me in the men's room? Why them guys all smiling at me? All I wanted to do was be in the men's room. In the men's room. Well, I clenched my teeth and I pulled it out. And they all started to scream and shout. The blonde guy smiled and said I was the best. Oh, with all that attention, little Herman got hard. That's when the blonde guy pulled out a card that said police, and he put me under arrest. In the men's room. In the men's room. Now why them guys arresting me in the men's room? In a men's room. Well, the Daily News put it on the very front page. My name, address, occupation, and age. The judge dismissed the case and set me free. But I lost my job. I lost my wife. Ruined my reputation and changed my life. And the worst of it is, I never got to pee in the men's room. In the men's room. That's the way it happened to me in the men's room. All I wanted to do was pee. And now they've made a criminal out of me in the men's room. In the men's room. In the men's room.
get your ass on over here. Now start begging for your share. Well, first I'll warm your buns and crack, and shoot my load off on your back. Well, this Southern style ain't here to stay. Love is just an inch away. For a lifetime or a night, well, I'll make you scream with such delight. Well, just widen your stance, cause here it comes. You need it bad, take all you want. Night is filled with fucking sound, and bodies melting to the ground. Slowly move your hips that way. No love, just an inch away. Fucking sounds, and bodies melting to the ground. Slowly move your hips that way. Love is just an inch away. For a lifetime or a night, well, I'll make you scream with such delight. Well, just widen your stance. Filled with fucking sounds, the bodies melting to the ground. Just slowly move your hips that way. Love is just an inch away. Love is just an inch away. Yeah. Here it comes. Yeah. Do it. Yeah.
And After Harry Wingfield was the title track from a cassette recording issued in 1983 by an artist called, at least on the tape, Romulus. Besides the song Love Is Just an Inch Away, the tape included graphic songs in a variety of styles, with country being the style most used. Last summer I did a special internet-only show called I'll Be FCCing You, and if you listen to that show, you can hear in entirety several of the almost X-rated gay country songs that I can't include on this show. Katie Lang came out of the closet in 1992 after years of trying for acceptance in the country market. Those years produced four acclaimed albums, and her first, from 1984, was called A Truly Western Experience. On that album, she did a cover version of a 50s rockabilly hit by Ronnie Self. It's called Bopalina, and she kept those pronouns intact.
Oops, go Bidubidina, go gal, go Bopalina, Bopalina.
Okay, you're right. I can't let that be the only song to represent her on this show. From the gorgeous Shadowland album from 1988, here's a bit of I'm Down to My Last Cigarette.
The coffee's all gone, and my eyes burn like fire. It's way past the hour when retire. You told me you'd call me, but you haven't yet, and I'm down to my last second.
Katie Lang. In 1986, one of my favorite queer acts, Romanowski and Phillips, added a very country song to their album called Trouble in Paradise. It's the Larry Havlick song, Must Have Been Drunk.
I woke up in the morning with you wrapped inside my arms. Last night the tent got cold, so we just snuggled to keep warm. I must admit that you had started feeling pretty good, and I was feeling you a little better than I should. Must have been drunk for us to carry on this way. You don't talk like Mr. Rogers, I don't look like Doris Day. Now maybe it's the wine and weed that made us act so queer, or maybe homosexuals have bottled up this beer.
Okay, somewhere I've got to fit in Glenn Needmore. And his work again begs the question of just what qualifies as country music. I've got all five of his releases spanning back to 1987, and I guess I'm comfortable calling his albums country punk. He obviously is not worried about airplay, as this material fits the titles of his releases, the last three being called Boned, Hot Horny and Born Again, and Cowboy Songs for Little Hustlers. Many of his songs are openly gay and openly graphic. I picked one from his Squaw Bread album from 1988 called I'll Teach You to Steal My Man. Its verses are very repetitive, and here's the one I can play on the air.
Well, I was in the barn late one night and caught her with my man. I was in the barn late one night and caught her with my man. I was in the barn late one night and caught her with my man. You turn them loose, you alley cat, I'll teach you to steal my man.
And that was Glenn Needmore. And it would be hard to leave out this song by Two Nice Girls. Now that's the name of their act, and there were four of them. This song was not at all typical of their sound, but they had a big success with it. And how could you miss with a lesbian song called I Spent My Last $10 on Birth Control and Beer?
When I was a young girl like normal girls do, I looked to a woman's love to help get me through. I never needed any more than a feminine touch. I hated the thought of kissing a man. It really was too much. I did not drink.
Again, that was by Two Nice Girls from their self-titled album from 1989. Also from 1989 is a very obscure album by Jane Howard called Passage. I only have one song from the album, but it's a very nice, openly lesbian country song called Something for Her.
Well, there's just something about her, and I think I knew right from the start. And the way that my life feels without her tells me what it is, at least in part. Oh, there's just something about her, though she's not like some movie queen. But she's a down-to-earth working class Madonna in her worn-out running shoes and faded jeans. And it's not the way she looks, but the way she looks at me. And anyway, what do you say to a woman who says it's meant to be? And our dreams, well, you can't all but see them just over there. Sunday morning, how a harbor light cuts through.
this point in the show, there were several other acts I considered including who were active in the late 80s or early 90s and who were very popular at the women's music festivals, such as Ranch Romance and the Real World String Band. Or I could even play a very country song from the album Country Blessed by Chris Williamson and Trent Furr. But those recordings' lyrics were not openly lesbian. And if you've listened to my shows at all, you know I always prefer to give exposure to a lyrically gay or lesbian song. For this next act, well, I really can't tell you much about them. I found their 1994 cassette in a gay bookstore, and there's no photo, but they were from Madison, Wisconsin. They were called the Cowgirl Sweethearts, and their album was The Cowgirl Collection. It was filled with seven mostly out-of-the-closet songs, including this one, titled You Got Me All Wrong. Cowgirl Sweethearts.
There is a street and a place in New York City where I like to go when I'm in town. The women there are strong and the men are so pretty. Chelsea boys in jeans and village men in leather. Cities, towns, and back roads. From Mexico to Maine, I sang my song. To muscle boys at Pride, to gay shake their dice. And them cowboys at the Garrodeo.
Most of the rest of this show will be devoted to one of the leading forces in gay country music, Doug Stevens. And that was part of his song from 2000, From Christopher to Castro. I opened the show with a title track from the first album by Doug Stevens and the Out Band, called Out in the Country. And I told you that Doug didn't have the first openly gay country album, with that honor going to Patrick Haggerty and Lavender Country in 1973. Well, to my mind, Doug Stevens had the second openly gay country album. And I was kind of surprised to realize that, as there was a 20-year gap between those two recordings. Of all the other gay and lesbian artists I played, plus a few others I know who released albums between 1973 and 1993, well, I just don't consider them to be both openly gay and fully country albums. So I salute Doug for finally bringing gay country music back out of the closet. While growing up very country, deep in Mississippi, his music career went a different direction at first, and he pursued classical singing in New York City, which included European tours and acclaim. But testing positive for HIV in 1991 turned him around. His lover at the time left him because of it, resulting in a deep despair. I asked him about that time in his life.
My partner and I, and at that time I think it was my second partner, this was in the late 80s. He and I both got tested for HIV, and he was negative and I was positive. And he left me because of it, and I went into a depression. And this was actually 1990, so there really wasn't a lot of hope for people with HIV back then. And I got really depressed, and classical music felt foreign to me. It started feeling foreign. It didn't feel like it was really me. And so I stopped performing classical music, and I even turned down some gigs.
I thought he was special, a match made in heaven above. Those hazel eyes, deep and strong, a love like I've never known. But then the test results came.
The following program may contain language or imagery that may be offensive to some listeners. Discretion is advised. The Federal Communications Commission permits the broadcast of some profanity during hours deemed to be safe harbor when children are less likely to be listening. KPFT upholds a stricter policy permitting the broadcast of sensitive material only between the hours of midnight and 5 a.m. The FCC forbids the broadcast of some sexual discussions or other suggestive matters regardless of the hour. If you have questions or concerns, please call the program director during business hours at 713-526-4000. This is KPFT Houston.
The folk history of America is the history of its heroes. Big working men like John Henry, Paul Bunyan, and Big Bad John. But today I'd like to introduce a new folk hero. He didn't work in a mine or on a railroad or any of those strenuous occupations. He worked in a beauty salon, and his name was Bruce. Well, the beauty salon. Big Bruce arrived and kind of tiptoed in. He wore bell-bottom pants and a polka dot tie. And whenever he spoke, it was just to say, "Hi, Big Bruce." Big Bad Bruce. Everyone knew when he swished into town, you could smell his perfume for miles around. He stood 6'5" and weighed 106, with a curl in his hair and a smile on his lips. Big Bruce. Big old Bruce. The boys all say he's from Abilene, where he had a social group called the Lone Star Queens. Some say Hollywood or Beverly Hills, where he got arrested for passing $3 bills. That's Bruce. Double Bruce. Then came a day of that terrible fire. Something went wrong in the number 5 dryer. Into the chaos of those matronly dames went Big Bad Bruce, just a fan in the flames. Big Bruce. Big Bad Bruce, he was saying. Well, the flames grew higher and the fire got worse. And someone heard Brucey cry, "Mercy, I forgot my purse." Into the fire with a squeaky little shout. We waited an hour, but he never came out. Poor Bruce. Poor old Bruce. Where that salon once stood, there's a grocery store. But his name will live forevermore in the annals of time and in the hall of fame as the gay young cat who went down in flames. Big Bruce. You might say this has been kind of a fairy tale.
This is Queer Voices on KPFT, and this segment is called Queer Music Heritage. I'm J.D. Doyle, and you're in the middle of a special three-part series. 2 weeks ago, I brought you part one of the history of gay country music. And on my regular April show, in 2 more weeks, it'll be part two, where I'll continue the history and feature many of the more recent gay and lesbian country songs and artists. But tonight, I'm slipping in a bonus show that I'm calling The Return of Big Bad Bruce, Homophobia in Country Music. This is where I explore all those comedy and novelty songs done by straight artists that have been making the most of gay stereotypes over the years, and I'll show how those musical stereotypes have evolved. I started off with the song Big Bruce by Steve Greenberg from 1969, and it obviously was a parody of the 1962 Jimmy Dean classic Big John. For my younger listeners, that song went like this.
Big John. Every morning at the mine, you could see him arrive. He stood 6'6" and weighed 245, kind of broad at the shoulder and narrow at the hip. And everybody knew you didn't give no lip to Big John.
Big John was a huge number one hit, and other than the Christmas classics, it's hard to think of a song that's generated more parodies. And to spoof Butch John with the opposite was a natural. I know of 11 different parody versions, and in over half, Bruce was the so-called hero. Someone should do a study on how the name Bruce came to represent the ultimate sissy in those years. And there were variations in these songs. Several kept the name John, and Jim and Sidney were also used. Here's a quick medley of 3 examples, in order by country comedy singer Ben Colder, folk singer Casey Anderson, and the comedy duo Faux Pas, all from the 60s.
Big John.
He arrives every morning at the beauty shop in his pink sports car with his chartreuse top. Kind of narrow at the shoulder, wide in the rear. Everybody knew there was something kind of queer about John.
Big John. Big John.
Big sweet John.
Pink pedal pushers and nylon hose, purple wedges with open toes. drank his milk from a dirty old glass. Everybody knows you didn't give no sass to Big John. Somebody said he got into my outfit.
Every morning at the salon, you could see him arrive. 5'6", weighing 105. Narrow at the shoulders and broad at the hips, with a delicate smile on his painted lips. Sweet Sydney. Nobody knew where Sid called home. Had a place on Fire Island where he lived alone. A likable fellow, though kind of quiet and shy. And if he spoke at all, he just said, "Hi, sweetie." Some say he came from New Orleans, where he headed a social club called the Cajun Queens. But to tell you the truth, it was Beverly Hills, where he got into trouble, passing $3 bills. Lucky Sydney, desperate little outfit.
You can see him arrive at the beauty shop with a pink Thunderbird and a fuchsia top. Kind of narrowed the shoulder and broadened the rear. Everybody knew something about John. It was queer, Big John. Big John. Big John. Swivel hips, John. Well, now he don't speak much, sort of quiet and shy. And if he speaks at all, he just says, "Hi, Big John. Big John, Big John, limber lips, John." John and Mary, John and Mary. She's a lesbian, he's a fairy. Let me tell you, mother, the things they do to one another.
Again, you just heard Ben Colder, Casey Anderson, and the duo Faux Pas, who threw in an extra bit of homophobia at the end. Of course, the use of stereotypes in music is nothing new. In the mid-1800s, minstrel shows were very successful in embedding racism into American popular culture. As a result, the image of silly, ignorant, and exaggerated blacks in comedy routines were a theatrical mainstay well into the next century. And to a lesser degree, there have been songs exploiting images of Jews and Hispanics and other groups. But it seems the last safe minority group to make fun of are gays, lesbians, and transgendered people. And this is nowhere more common than in country music. Even comedians or other acts that are not country-based mostly choose country music as their format when musically making gay people the butt of their jokes. Is this because country music is viewed as the least tolerant of the differences of others, and therefore the contrast would heighten the humor? I can only pose the question. But before I ask the next question, I want to give some more examples. From 1951 is a song that, while the arrangement is not country, of course the song it's based on is. Bob Peck takes the song Deep in the Heart of Texas and changes it into one he called Homo the Range.
Now, deep in the heart of Texas, I met a cowboy named Alexis, who was a great big strapping guy of 6'6". Now, all the girls in Texas were simply mad about Alexis, till they learned that nature plays some funny tricks. Though he was big and strong, there was something wrong. Alexis had no sexes. Now, I've seen a few, but I never knew they grew such guys in Texas, 'cause usually that's the kind you see deep in the heart of Greenwich Village. When he roped cattle, he rode side saddle down on his range in Texas. Yes, home on the range he was strange. When the cowgirls would ask for a kiss, it was seldom they heard an encouraging word. He was a prairie fairy. Oh, yippee-ki-yay, I'm the queen of the May, deep in the heart of Texas. Now his horse was just swell and smelled of Chanel, just like our friend Alexis. He even had a steer which acted queer, just like our friend Alexis. This Prairie Flower would sit by the hour, and all day long he would sing this song. Give me some men who are stout-hearted men, who can ride, who can rope, who would like to elope. Clap, 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 deep in the heart of Texas.
And here are three more that utilize the worst in lispy, swishy images. First, J. Curly Farrell brings us Fruity Brucie from 1978.
Now everybody across this great big land has heard many a story about the truck-driving man. They've become folk heroes, nearly every one. But there's one they don't talk about. Not even in fun. I mean, he's different.
Well, I never after all.
Let me tell the story.
Oh, sorry.
He's a California fruit truck driving man. And he burns up that highway in a souped up pink van. It's got a tiger skin interior and the horn don't blow, it toots. He wears purple velveteen gloves and rhinestone-studded boots. They call him Fruity Brucie.
Well, those dummies don't know I'm really dressed in style.
He runs along the ridge route, up 5 and 99. CB just a-blaring, blowing every trucker's mind. They don't like how he talks, and his dress ain't part of their code. And every 18-wheeler's bowed, they're gonna run him off the road. I mean, they get kinda heavy with him.
Well, a big 10-100 on each of them.
There's been many a trucker who's devised a scheme or plan to be a hero with his buddies and clobber that little pink van. Brucie will egg them on, let them get close, but no matter how they try, he just slams that souped-up hammer down and with a limp wrist waves goodbye. I mean, boy, does he make a man.
Oh, most especially when I flip him the bird.
Well, I guess old Fruity Brucie is much misunderstood. He's got his little old job to do, and I suppose he does some good. But the main point is, a man has a right to do the best he can. I mean, let him haul that fruit to Hollywood in his little pink van. I mean, this is America.
Oh, yes, it is.
And no one can tell a person what he can do or what he can't do.
Oh,
or
no, wait,
how
wait.
He must dress or
tell him.
How he must talk,
yes.
Or act.
Oh,
or what color his truck must be. No,
no way.
No, you can't stop him from hauling that fruit.
No, that's
no,
right.
He has that right.
You bet I have.
And besides that,
yes.
Can you imagine Hollywood without any fruits?
This is Bruce Poos. I always wanted to be a cowboy all my life with a deer in the antelope room. But my mother, Mildred Poos, said it was just too tough and I should stay at home. I needed that macho feeling, just like all the boys in school I saw. But mother just protected me. Her word was the law. Now they call me Hopalong Sissy. They call me Hopalong Sissy, the man that's out of place. Yes, Hopalong Sissy, just another pretty cowboy face. Oh, how I try to tell them that I can ride the mechanic bull, la-di-da. But they won't listen, they won't listen. They said, you're just a Hopalong Sissy, and your mother's word is the law. I'm gonna prove them wrong. I'm gonna get on that bull. I'm gonna put on those little chaps. I don't care what my mother says. My name is Bruce Poos. You may call me Hopalong Sissy, but I'm gonna prove them wrong. I'm gonna get on that bull, and I'm gonna really do it right this time. Sticks and stones can break my bones, but please don't throw sticks and stones. Now I'm on this bull. to show all of you macho preachers out there that have laughed at me all this time, and all of you silly little women out there that think that I'm a little sissy. I'm not half a long sissy. I am British. And I am jamming on this bull. And I'm going to stay on this bull until the whole thing is over with. I don't care if it's on full speed or not. I paid my $2 and I'm going to ride it until it hair lifts the devil.
I'm on this boat, I can ride it too, I'm no sissy. I'm going all the way to Gillies, mama. Pasadena, Texas, here I come. All fiddlesticks, if I can ride it too, you know.
I'm Ben Gay. I'd like to dedicate this number to Wayne and Bruce and all my friends at the Chartreuse. One, two, buckle your shoe. Okay, boys, let's slap it from the bottom. Want to be a cowboy? That's what I tried to be. Wanted to be a cowboy, but they poked fun at me. Dreamed of riding horses, roping and herding cattle. Oh, how those brutes terrorized me when they saw my velvet saddle. Can I help it if my skin's delicate? Of course not.
Following Fruity Brucey was Hop Along Sissy. That one was, at least according to the label, by Bruce Poos from 1981. And also you heard one that got a bit of radio play in 1974, The Ballad of Ben Gay by Ben Gay and the Silly Savages. And here are two more quick examples. In 1967, comedian Peter Dana couldn't resist doing a parody of Roger Miller's King of the Road.
I have to be very careful when I do this song. Last night I did it and there was three guys waiting for me outside. Don't laugh, two of them got away. Beach boys for sale or rent. I'll hum this song for 50 cents. White tennies and pink hairnets and black and gold tip cigarettes. But I'm a great big strong old handsome man. Barefoot boy with cheeks of tan. Cause I'm a man of means with tight jeans. Queen of the beach.
Well, the sweet boat was a-heading through the mountains. The stage they call the Wells Fargo Express. The cargo, so I hear, bag of old-fashioned root beer. That tasty drink was creamy, that what this. Look out, it's a hold-up, it's Black Bart.
Help, save me from my life of fear.
Oh, hush up, Gail. It's that famous drink I want. That case of Fargo old-fashioned root beer.
Stand where you are. Black Bart, you silly bitch, you are through.
It's the Fargo Kid.
Madam, do not fear. I will save your Fargo old-fashioned root beer.
So the stagecoach went on heading through the mountains. And old Black Bart is now turned queer, I hear. The Fargo Kid.
Which way did he go? Which way did he go?
He went for Fargo. He went for Fargo, old-fashioned root beer.
And that made-up commercial was for Fargo root beer, as done in 1973 by an obscure group called Rock's Gang. I've got another strange record to share with you, and this is only for my internet listeners, because time constraints wouldn't allow me to fit this into the broadcast show. It's from 1970 and was released on a 45 on the Capitol label in Canada. Since you're already on the net, you can see the very interesting picture sleeve they gave this 45. And what is almost as interesting is how tame the stereotyping is on both sides. Yes, the sissy voice is there, but the storylines are so ordinary, especially for that time period, you have to wonder why they thought enough of this record to give it a picture sleeve. It's a real collector's oddity. The artist's name, of course, is made up, and it actually sounds like a porn name. Anyway, here's Rock Harding and both sides of his 45, He Always Lets Me Down So Easy, and You Ain't Done Better Than Me.
He always was so good to me, and I wish it could go on. But every now and then my world caves in. let myself believe. Then all at once he's gone, but he always lets me down so easy. My world caved in again, just when I thought I'd win. It never rains, but it pours on me. He wouldn't let me down again. I tell myself each time, but he always lets me down so easy. Oh, listen, my world caved in again. Just when I thought I'd win. It never rains, but it pours on me. He wouldn't let me down again. I tell myself each time, but he always lets me down so easy. And he always gets me back so easy.
Just the other day, why I found you. And once again, why I pictured my two arms around you. But a honky-tonk for lonely guys is not where I thought you'd be. And you ain't done much better than me. I remember walking past this place when you were by my side, but I doubt if you could make it in the shape you're in tonight. Oh yes, I've hated you for leaving me, and I slowly drifted here, and you ain't done much better than me. Steel man, just turn me on. I remember walking past this place when you were by my side, but I doubt if you could make it in the shape you're in tonight. Oh, I've hated you for leaving me, and I slowly drifted here. You ain't done much better than me. No, you ain't done much better than me.
Rock Harding from 1970. Of course, another question is, what songs are homophobic? Who makes that call? It's a gray area, and it's subjective. Even as a gay person, there are songs that I might think are funny that someone else might find offensive. But even if you can appreciate a song's humor or cleverness, there's that underlining theme of perpetuating the stereotype, and that itself is damaging. A song about a swishy hairdresser is as demeaning as a song about a lazy Mexican or an Italian gangster. As I studied the list of songs I compiled for consideration for this show, I started to notice a change in the style of the stereotyping through the years. And while, of course, there are exceptions, as we got out of the 80s, there were fewer and fewer songs that depended on swishy characters with affected, lispy voices. This next song I think is interesting because, if you think about it, while the mincing voice is still there, the approach is different. As we learn by the song's end, that it's the narrator's own homophobia that's their downfall. This one got lots of radio play in 1977. Here's Rod Hart with C.B. Savage.
We was hunting bear for the rocking chair out on I-40. dodging bucks in pickup trucks in West New Mexico. It was a cloudy day, and me and old Jay was just about bored to tears. But we come awake when a CB break come a-ringing loud and clear. And we heard this voice that we ain't never heard before, saying,
Break 1-9, I'm CB Savage. Hi, all you 18-wheelers. Anyone seen any smoky bears? How about some bear smokies? CB Savage here. Come on.
Well, I looked at Jay and I said, Hey, did you hear what I just heard? He nodded his head and his face got red and he never said a word. We both reached for the mic, thinking we might just answer that 1-9 call, when that CB device come back to life just a lisping wall to wall. And that unusual voice came on again, saying,
Break 1-9 again. This is your one and only CB Savage. Mercy sakes, good bodies. Could I please have your 20? I'd settle for a big 10-4. Mercy, mercy. How about a milepost? Listen, you can't keep your hammers down forever, you know. Speak to me, pedal pumpers. How about it?
Well, the box went dead and we looked straight ahead and didn't say a word at all. We had four in the chair and the door back there, but nobody'd answer that call. A while went by and Jay and I, we started breathing again. We figured this stranger was plumb out of range when all at once he'd come back in. And it was that same odd voice saying,
Breakers, breakers, any takers? Hi, hi, it's me again. I'm in your chair and I love it there. Say, you truckers really know how to take a person for a ride. Speak to me, you diesel demons. I'd love to get to know your handles. CB Savage here. Come on, come on.
I grabbed the mic and I held it tight and my hand began to sweat. I looked at Jay and he was grinning away like a big old bird-fed cat. So I put down the talker and turned up the squawker and got a good grip on the wheel. I decided the trucker that answered this duck sure as heck wasn't gonna be me. About that time, that weird voice came back on again, saying,
Yoo-hoo, breakaroo. Hi-hi, you jim-dandy jimmy-jammers, you. Do I ever have a surprise for you? If you listen real close, you'll find my voice is changing. And if you'll start checking your rear views, you'll find you got company. Five plain white smokies dressing up for a ticket-writing party. Y'all was so busy copying my put-on, you didn't notice your little convoy was being infiltrated. You can start shutting them down anytime now. This is your CB Savage, the Smokey's friend. Wall to wall and treetop tall. That is all. Bye-bye.
Through the 80s and into the 90s, it seems transgender characters came into their own as subjects in country songs. They were pretty much absent before that, and it probably reflects an evolution in the public's thinking and awareness. Where before the assumption was that a gay man wanted to become a woman, now they knew some folks were actually doing so. So there were songs about sex changes and songs about not being able to tell the difference. I've got three quick examples of the Not Able to Tell the Difference songs, and actually the first two are the same song by two different artists. In 1982, Richard Thompson recorded his song, Woman or a Man. I'll play the first verse by him and then switch to a more Cajun cover version of it by Michael Doucette. Richard Thompson and then Michael Doucette and Cajun Brew. but I think my favorite gender confusion song is by Rodney Carrington, called Dancing with a Man.
I saw her sitting in a barroom in that smoky atmosphere. She smiled back at me as I drank down one last beer. She pulled me on the dance floor. We danced a song or two. It was then I realized that I bit off more than I could chew. I think I'm dancing with a man. She's got calluses on her hand. She's got a voice like Johnny Cash. Is she hiding a mustache? I think I'm dancing with a man. We sit down and talk a while.
I Think I'm Dancing with a Man, from 1998 by Rodney Carrington. And now for a trio of sex change songs.
Well, it's country time again, song bitch. Little song by George Strait. Gonna change a little bit, make it a little more appropriate for today's world. It's all about being out in San Francisco. Yeah, my exes change their sexes. And checks are the things they really want from me. Yes, all my exes change their sexes. They need my bucks for plastic surgery.
Your father was once my mother. It's hard to believe, but somehow you're my brother. You've got her looks, it's true, somehow we're related to one another. Your father was once my mother.
My ma left home when I was young, she'd had it up to here. 'Cause pa was drunk as a pickled skunk from hard liquor and beer. So she headed west where the life was best. Yeah, my mom knew where to go. Next stop, Golden Gates of San Francisco. Liberal town, open views abound. Okay, some things I understand. But why the hell did Mom become a man? She buffed the chest, removed the breast, threw hair so all could see. Had the doc perform an additive to me.
Your father was once my mother. But somehow you're my brother. You've got her looks, it's true. Somehow we're related to one another. Your father was once my mother.
Fire trucks and Hot Wheels were not his favorite toys. He never liked to play with guns like all the others.
Wasn't that interesting? Comedian Mac McDonald gave us the clever George Strait parody, All My Exes Changed Their Sexes, in 1996. And from 1991, Howie Knave did Your Father Was Once My Mother. It was from an album very appropriately called I Can't Believe I Sang That Song. And I followed them with Ruthie and the Wranglers and He's a Honky Tonk Man, from 1998. Here's another bonus track for my internet listeners. It's from 1996 and is by country comedy singer Cletus T. Judd. He's released about a dozen albums, and it's natural some gay songs would appear. This one is from an album called I Stole This Record. Here's The Change.
I It seems like all my life I've wanted to be a wife. So I went under the knife, and it really changed my life. Ever since that Oprah show, I've been wanting me a change. Pantyhose a time or two.
What?
Garter belts and high heel shoes.
No, you didn't.
Wore a big beehive hairdo.
Stop.
So they kicked me out of school.
Don't go there.
Everybody knew I was acting pretty strange. Change. They hardly recognize me, even got a brand new name. I swear, I feel a little lighter since I went from Jim to Jane. It takes a while to get used to this, cause right now I'm still in pain. I was an unhappy man before the change.
Rock my world, little country boy. Those Wrangler butts drive me nuts.
Girlfriend, I must confess.
Go ahead.
Last night I was in a mess.
What happened?
My date, he was impressed. Until I got undressed. When he saw my hairy chest, he said, "You better explain."
Don't you hate it when that happens?
Oh, what's a girl to do?
Tell me.
Hit him with my high heel shoe.
No way.
Once he came to, he knew. This woman's one bad dude.
You are.
But I'm just a thing for you.
That's right.
If you're looking for a change.
Stop.
Since the change, they hardly recognize me. Girl even got a brand new name. I swear, feel a little lighter since I went from Jim to Jane. It takes a while to get used to this, cause right now I'm still in pain. I was an unhappy man, talking about an unhappy man. Now I'm a happy woman since the change. What? You go, girl. Can't touch this.
Other gay parody songs by Cletus T. Judd include Stefan, the Alternative Lifestyle Reindeer, and My Cellmate Thinks I'm Sexy. The next evolution I spotted in the treatment of gays and lesbians in country music also started in the 90s, with the revelation by the singers that their wives and girlfriends were lesbian. Okay, let's stop and think. I've covered about 40 years of country music, and we finally hear about lesbians. I'm not sure if we should bemoan that lesbians seem to have been invisible, or be thankful that we didn't get a lot of songs about butch dykes in cowboy boots. At any rate, the songs are much less critical, and the men are mainly just complaining about the loss of their women. We'll start with Pinkert and Bowden, who in 1992 brought us Since My Baby Turned Gay. And in 1997, the Bellamy Brothers compounded that loss with My Wife Left Me For My Girlfriend.
Whole world is going downhill since my baby turned gay. Everything was fine until she went the other way. I don't sleep like I know I should. I don't enjoy my livelihood. Nothing don't taste as good since my baby turned gay. I give my heart to her, and then my baby went away. She runs off with a carpenter named Lucy May. My pride shattered and the ego shrunk. All I want to do is get sloppy drunk. I never ever would have thunk my baby turned gay.
It's a story that's been told before, but this time there's a twist. I woke up to an empty room, devoid of joy and bliss.
know I don't deserve no sympathy, but I think it's a sin. My wife left me for my girlfriend. Like Thelma and Louise, they took off in the dead of night. In a 91 Suburban with a loaded 45. Well, I'd call up the authorities, but where would I begin? My wife left me for my girlfriend. She was the sweetest thing on.
Girl, but she left me all alone. Now when I come home at night, it's through an empty home. She said she hates that house, and how she'd like to bomb it, and how the sight of me in bed makes her want to vomit. She's a lesbian. And she's out there chasing skirts. She's a lesbian.
She's a lesbian.
Wearing boots and flannel shirts. She don't like men. She's a lesbian.
Following Pinkerton Bowden and the Bellamy Brothers was a much more obscure act, Dick Dietrich and the Night Standards. Actually, Dick Dietrich is the name of a character played by Tim Stack on a TV comedy show, and the song She's a Lesbian was released only as a CD single in 2001. This is a good time to invite you to check out my website at www.queermusicheritage.com. If you visit it while you're listening, you can see the playlist and follow along while looking at photos of the artists and recordings. I've always considered our music history as a visual as well as an audio experience. Also, for more very queer programming, please listen to After Hours with Jimmy Carper every Saturday night from midnight to 4 a.m. on KPFT. It's queer radio with attitude. Okay, I'm sure you've noticed that as far as country music homophobia goes, things are progressing. The stereotypes are lessening, and at the very end of the 90s, straight performers started releasing songs sung from the first-person perspective. This meant that they were comfortable enough to sing a song without the audience wondering if they were gay, just because they sang the song. And audiences already knew that Weird Al Yankovic is liable to sing about anything. So in 1999, when he included on his Running with Scissors album one called Truck Drive and Song, it was not a great shock.
I'm driving a truck, driving a big old truck, pedal to the metal, hope I don't run out of luck. Rolling down the highway until the break of dawn, driving a truck with my high heels on. My diesel rig is northward bound, it's time to put that hammer down. Just watching as the miles go flying by, I'm riding 20 tons of steel, but it's sure hard to hold the wheel while I'm still waiting for my nails to dry. Oh, I always gotta check my lipstick in that rearview mirror, and my pink Angora sweater fits so tight. I'm jamming gears and hauling freight, well I sure hope my seams are straight. Lord, don't let my mascara run tonight, because I'm driving a truck, driving a big old truck. Smokey's on my tail and my accelerator stuck. Got these 18 wheels a-rolling until the break of dawn, driving a truck with my high heels on.
Well, I drive a two-ton semi, go trucking coast to coast.
I like my rig, I like the road, but it's not what I love most. There's a gal I left in Frisco, a sweet young thing named Rose. And the best dang thing about her, she lets me wear her clothes. Well, I'm proud to be country transvestite. And I love to wear the girls' clothes all day. Lacy bra, a frilly blouse, a silky negligee. Now I'm still a macho tough guy, and I hope you'll understand. I was born with a big black mustache and a six pack in my hand. But when I go out formal, I do it with a twist. I'll wear a strapless evening gown and a nosegay on my wrist. Yes, I'm proud to be country transvestite. And I love to wear the girl's clothes.
After Weird Al was won by the American Comedy Network called The Country Transvestite Song. Yes, those were both comedy songs, and those two happened to be about transvestites. Well, I didn't say the stereotypes were all gone, just that it was interesting that the songs were sung in the first person. But this next song does make you pause. It's a first-person song that's not done for laughs. It appears to be fairly sincere, and it's called Cowboy Love.
I wanna go to stepping with a good looking big black buck. I want him to come and pick me up in his Chevrolet pickup truck. When we're on the dance floor, his hat'll rise high above. It's interracial cowboy, homo kind of love. Tall, of course, dark and handsome, a gentleman.
That was by an artist calling himself Reverend Horton Heat. But I have to quickly say that Heat wasn't the first straight act to sing a serious gay song in the first person. To my knowledge, that was done in 1988 by an act known for their social commentary, the Austin Lounge Lizards. From their album Highway Cafe of the Damned is the song Cornhusker Refugee. It's about a gay man from Nebraska living in San Francisco and missing his homeland, but knowing he can't go back.
Here in San Francisco, the rain is a drizzling. Sitting here drinking with my loneliness and pain. On the bar television, the Giants are losing. Living an illusion, so why do I remain? Take me home. Come back soon.
Come back soon.
Take me home to that little town where everyone's your neighbor and the family ate dead chickens every Sunday afternoon. It's hard to be gay
in Lodgepole, Nebraska. Something that I never should have asked him to do.
When he left me, he shattered the rose-colored glasses. Still my mind keeps searching for that simple life I knew. Take me home to the flatlands, good old welcome at last, where the footprints
weekend, every Sunday afternoon.
I love that song. Again, that was the Austin Lounge Lizards, and my friends, the Therapy Sisters, backed them up on that one. Gay presence in country music has come a long way, but I don't mean that country music seems ready for a gay or lesbian country singing star. They still don't appear ready for that. Just ask Katie Lang. What I'm talking about is just the subject matter of the songs. While, of course, it's still possible to hear a new country song making fun of gays and lesbians, the sources are mostly from comedy acts rather than from country artists themselves. So I'm going to head towards the end of the show with several songs from the last 5 or 6 years done by straight artists that I think deserve special attention. Rodney Crowell was raised in Houston, and in 2001 he released his Houston Kid album to much acclaim. And like most of the reviewers, I was particularly taken by two songs from it that paralleled each other. I Wish It Would Rain tells the story of a former Houston kid who is gay and now works as a street hustler in California and is dying of AIDS. Wandering Boy continues the story from the perspective of his twin brother who overcomes his homophobia and now embraces his brother who has come home to die. Here's a little of both songs edited together.
Turning tricks on Sunset, $20 a pop. Some out-of-town old businessman or an undercover cop. I'm living with a virus blowing way down in my veins. Oh, oh. I wish it would rain. I know you've heard my story or seen me on the street. Just another cracker gigolo dressed up like trick-or-treat. Now you may want to judge me or treat me with disdain. Oh, oh. I wish it would rain. Memphis, Texas, Houston, Tennessee. Man, I'm just so turned around, I don't know where I want to be. This California desert is driving me insane. Oh, I wish it would rain. The blood that's flowing through you flows through me. When I look in any mirror, your face that I see. And you're my only brother, I'm your twin. And you've come home to rest a while, shed your dying skin. Ease your mind, have no fear. When it comes, wandering boy, we're two Houston kids sailing mason jar lids with our pop bottles hid by the bio. Judgments like a net. All those California gay boys deserve just what they get. Little did I know there would come a day when my words would come back screaming like a debt I have to pay. Leave.
Powerful stuff. This next song I discovered by doing an internet.
Join Citizens League for Environmental Action now as we present the documentary Oil on Ice as part of our ongoing environmental film series. 7 p.m. March 12th at the Rice Media Center on the Rice University campus, located at the corner of Stockton and University Boulevard. Oil on Ice, narrated by Peter Coit, is an award-winning documentary that connects the fate Arctic National Wildlife Refuge in Alaska and the conflict over drilling for oil. The film examines the battle over one of America's last great wild places, which is currently at the center of a national energy debate. Through stunning footage and in-depth interviews, this entertaining film links seemingly unrelated matters such as energy independence, global warming, Native American rights, wildlife, and wildlands protection. The event is free and open to the public. For more information, visit Clean at www.cleanhouston.com. This is KPFT Houston.
Listeners support KPFT in many different ways. Some write checks and others use credit cards. But if you're spinning your wheels looking for a tax deduction, think about donating your working but unwanted car, motorcycle, boat, or truck to KPFT. You'll qualify for a tax deduction and at the same time take care of that unfinished business. To make a donation, call our toll-free vehicle donation.
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.